The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church, which is located in the Zion community near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Elder Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation of believers in the sovereign grace of God, where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. If you live in this area or are visiting here, we would love to have you attend worship services with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesday evenings at 6:30 p.m. I'm happy to note that our daily podcast is featured on Grace Alone Radio, which you can find at gracealoneradio.net. You can find the schedule on the website, and you can also download an app to your phone so that you can listen wherever you are. Grace Alone Radio is a 24-hour streaming service which carries the message of God's sovereign grace around the clock and around the world. Zion Primitive Baptist Church is located at 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. That's near the intersection of County Road 49 and Alabama Highway 159, about 8 miles north of Gordo, Alabama, and about 10 miles northeast of Reform, Alabama. If you're interested in finding more sermons, you can go to our website at zionpbc.com. That's zionpbc.com, where you'll find all of our posted sermons, as well as a link to subscribe to our podcast. You can also subscribe to our website, which will update you every time a new sermon is posted. As Elder John Morgan Owens concludes his look at thirst from Scripture, we see several other instances of physical thirst described in the Bible, but ultimately he takes us to the supreme example of thirst, which is our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. He thirsted that we might never thirst. Join us today for the conclusion of this message on the topic of thirst.
In the dark of the midnight,
is love. this is the amazing part to me, is that he being wearied with his journey, you know, the love of God for you, that he would exist in the existence that he has always been in. You realize he didn't have a beginning. He has always been. Yeah. And he has always been in glory. He's always been that way. And yet for the love that he has for you, that he would submit himself as a servant to the bondage of bodies like we have. Okay? And we get wearied. And he was wearied with his journey and no doubt thirsty. He's thirsty for that water of that well that he put there. And he sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Now listen, we can learn a lot from our Savior, okay? There is nobody so outcast that they cannot be loved by God, okay? Amen. And here is your Savior. Not only was this a Samaritan, an outcast, but as we read, as you know from other preaching, is that she was an outcast within the outcast, because apparently she was a very promiscuous woman, okay? We'll just say it that way. And so she got a lot of flack from the other women. That's why she went out in the hottest part of the day to walk up the hill, or walk away from the city to go get her water. And you would think that's somebody that we can't be seen showing love to that person, right? Look, as God's people, in cancel culture, I want us to be very clear, okay? That we, under the authority of the Word of God, can say, we can call a spade a spade, right? Okay? We can say homosexuality is wrong, right, under the authority of the Word of God. Right. You know, we can say that a man is a man and a woman is a woman. We can say these things under the authority of the Word of God. But that does not absolve us from our responsibility of loving people, right? Now, you know, that's what the cancel culture wants to pigeonhole the Church of God as saying, because we are against certain things that we hate people, right? And that's the total opposite, okay? That Jesus comes to this woman who is in active sin, okay? That does not mean that he condones of her sin, okay? Just like the woman caught in adultery. I mean, she was caught in adultery. There was no question about it. Jesus did not condemn her. He was gracious, but he said, go and sin no more. You see, we have the responsibility to love people, okay? But that doesn't mean that we can't call it as it is, okay? I want us to be very clear that we aren't pigeonholed in that, okay? And so he asked her for drink, and she says, why are you asking me? I'm a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? She's curious. This living water sounds good. He says, art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. I'm sure all of you have at some point in your life seen an artesian well, right? A well of water, a source of water that is just bubbling up out of the ground. That is the image that I get when he says, I'll give you water to drink. And it won't just satisfy your thirst. He says, it will be within you a well itself, supplying water even unto everlasting life. I don't think that means that he's saying that you are going to get eternal life. I believe it's saying that the duration of it, that it is going to go on through everlasting life. Now, that's pretty nice, right? You know, we all have a desire within us, a hunger, a thirst, right? Spiritually, we were made to worship. And so, what does Satan do? What does the world do to try to get us away from God? They offer these things that you feel like is going to satisfy your thirst, but it doesn't, okay? I think it was my daddy used to tell me stories when they were practicing football and doing, you know, conditioning. You know, they didn't really have conditioning like we do now, right? But they were, you know, you weren't supposed to drink water. You know, that was a part of the conditioning, right? Is you don't drink water, right? I even heard one of my coaches say one time that in halftimes they would give everybody Coca-Colas, right? And, you know, I mean, that sounds great, right? When you're thirsty, I mean, a nice cold Coca-Cola is so good, but it's just dehydrating you more, you know? And that's exactly what the world does. Is it says, you're thirsty? Well, this new car is going to help you with your thirst. You know, you'll be satisfied with this. You'll be satisfied with this with more money or with this new job or this new house. You'll be satisfied. No, you know what? Your TV's just too small. You need a bigger TV and then you'll be satisfied, right? You know, what that's just like drinking Coca-Cola in a football game, right? You get a little hit of that sugar hitting your system, right? And then you're just getting more and more dehydrated from your pursuit of God. But what God says is just very simple. He says, come unto me. I've got a well of living water you can draw from, right? So you drink of this, you won't be thirsty. You won't thirst again. Now, let's continue here. In John 6 and verse 35, Jesus says this, just to give us a little more insight into what he's talking about here. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. All right, so let's be clear. We're not talking about an invitation for you to just come to this well and drink from it, and then you're going to save yourself from eternal hell unto eternal heaven. Right. Okay? This is different. Okay? He says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. You skip down later, and verse 44 says, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. You see that imagery just like drawing the water from the well? He says, unless you be drawn of my Father, you can't come to me.
Right.
All right, so clearly, that takes anything out of the equation as far as this, you coming to the well to drink from it to obtain eternal life. But listen, as a child of God, as somebody who is alive and has thirst and hunger, you can come to him and you can drink of that water, right? And you can be satisfied. Did you know that? Look, I get it. In this world, we're not going to be satisfied. You know, Solomon. Solomon and his rant in Ecclesiastes, right? It was all gloom, despair, and agony. It was all depressing stuff. But what he was saying was all of it is vanity under the sun. There's the key. In other words, you can have satisfaction and fulfillment, but you got to look beyond the sun. You got to look at our heaven. You got to look at our heavenly home, right? And that well of water that Jesus has for you, you can drink of that and you can be satisfied. You don't have to have your circumstances right first. You don't have to have everything in order in your life first. You can just, even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of adverse circumstances, you can drink of that well and be satisfied. In Matthew 5, I'm going to read that for you. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to only be there for a second. Matthew 5 and verse 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaches, he said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." You know what scares me? What scares me is when, just like in dehydration, right? In physical dehydration. You know, when you're thirsty, you're probably okay, right? But when you get to a point where you stop being thirsty and you become delusional, that's when you're in the danger zone, okay? Well, see, when I am thirsty for God, you know, that's an encouragement to me. You know what scares me is when I begin to not be thirsty for God, when I begin to not be hungry anymore. That's when I know that I have gone way too far, okay? You know, Ashley could tell you better. You know, I've had times in my life when I've had low blood sugar hit, you know, and you lose your appetite. But eating is the only thing that's going to keep you from passing out, right? And so you just gotta shove it in and swallow, right? And then you'll start feeling better. Maybe that might be you. Amen. With your spiritual walk. You may have, like I do from time to time, you may have drifted so far away from God that you no longer have an appetite for Him, that you're not hungry and thirsting for Him. Well, you know what it's time to do? It's time to cram some of the Word of God down and just swallow it, okay, right? Just do it anyway. Just start going through the motions, and the Lord will restore that feeling back to you, okay? That's a biblical concept. To fake it till you make it, it's a biblical concept, right? Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. So just because you're not feeling it today, it does not relieve you of your responsibility to seek Him, okay? If you're not feeling it today, then that is a red alert for you. That means I need to do it more than ever. Isaiah 55 and verse 1 says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." Listen, the experience of the disciple of Christ is not intended to be a miserable experience, okay? We buy into that lie that the world has given us, that, oh, well, all you believe is I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this. Well, you know, you're just living a life, you can't have any fun. Well, the truth is that Jesus Christ, that God the Father has given us instruction for our enjoyment, okay, to preserve the goodness of life for us. He says this, if you're hungry, if you're thirsty, you don't have to pay for it. It's on the Lord. He's paid for it. When He died on that cross, He paid for it for you, okay? There's no such thing as a free lunch, right? Well, Jesus Christ paid for your food and your drink when He died on the cross. And so when you're hungry and you're thirsty spiritually, you've got it. Just come unto Him. You can feed of it again. You can drink again. You can satisfy your thirst. And he said, why would you spend your money on that which is not bread? Why would you go out and spend the resources that God has blessed you with on things that are not going to satisfy your hunger and your thirst? Look, it's free to come here, y'all. You know, it's free to come and worship God. We don't charge anything to come in the door. You know, even your tithes and offerings is not mandatory. Okay, this is not a membership club. Right? You give as the Lord blesses. You don't have to, when you're home, you know, you don't have to pay to open up the Bible and read it. You know, it's not like a, you know, whatever Disney Plus, everything plus subscription plan that you've got to pay for, right? You can open up your Bible and read it. And guess what? You can, right now, you can go to the very throne of God Himself.
Amen.
And your voice, the voice of you pitiful sinner, right, can come into the ears of the God of glory right now because He has purchased that line for you, right?
Amen.
You know, you're not having to pay for the family plan, you know, with Verizon or AT&T or whatever it is. Jesus Christ purchased your plan. You can right now be in communion with the Heavenly Father.
Amen.
Through the blood of Christ. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
We take that for granted, y'all. That's how you drink in that water when you're thirsty.
Right.
The book of Ruth, chapter 2, verse 8. This is Ruth, the widow, right? In a world where, you know, she did not have the access to things that we have now. And so she is in a predicament where she is left to just pick up the scraps out of the field that the reapers don't get. She's out there working in the fields, gathering everything that she can because she knows that if she doesn't, she's not going to eat that day. And her mother-in-law, who's back waiting at the house, either of them are going to eat if she doesn't get out there and work and gather all that she can. And then Boaz said unto her, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn." I want to tell you, you're Boaz. Okay, Jesus Christ is asking you, don't go to another field. Okay, don't go and glean in another field. I've got plenty here for you to glean. And I've got a barrel of water there for you anytime you get thirsty. Anytime you're athirst, you can draw from it, and nobody's going to shoo you away, okay? Because I've told them not to.
Amen.
Right. How could we ever begin to think of trying to go to another field to glean and to get our nourishment and to drink when our Boaz, when our Savior has said, please don't go to another field, okay? Don't go anywhere else. I want you here with me.
Amen.
And I've got plenty for you to glean. I've got plenty of water for you to drink. Okay, I'm going to go to another passage, our last little bit here. We've read about all these that the Lord has satisfied in their thirst. Even the Israelites, who they cried out, "Is God even with us?" And you say, "Well, of course He is." And even Samson, as he says, "God, you just delivered me from bands and 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. Or did you bring me out here to die of thirst?" You know, and you think, "How in the world could you ever do that?" But yet God was gracious, and He gave them water. He gave Ruth water. He gave all these water. But yet, as your God, the God of glory, as He came down and He took on flesh, and He didn't have to do that, okay? He could have left us to die in our sins and to go to hell. But His love and the covenant that He made constrained Him.
Amen.
To come down and to take care of the sin problem Himself,
right?
To take on weariness,
right?
And as he is up there on the cross, nailed to the cross and suffocating, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, he says this. He says, "I thirst." Listen, if you thirst, if you're thirsty for God this morning, if you're thirsty for natural water, he has blessed you. You can have it, okay? You can have it. But as Jesus Christ, your God, cried out, "I thirst," what did he get? Did God answer that prayer like he answers our prayers? Here is his righteous Son. He answered the prayers of those unrighteous, ungrateful Israelites. But yet, here his Son cries out, "I thirst." And what does he do? Jesus gets a little vinegar to drink. That does not satisfy thirst. I mean, I would take a Coca-Cola, right? I know it's dehydrating me, but man, that would be better than some vinegar. But your Savior experienced thirst. And ultimately, he experienced being abandoned by God so that you would never be abandoned. Okay? When you're thirsty now, you can just go to that well. You don't have to drive somewhere to get it. You don't have to order it on Amazon, right? You can get of that well in your home. You can access that well that well while you're driving down the road and your kid is screaming in the back of the car, right? God has given that to you. He suffered thirst so that we would never have to.
Amen.
And then we've run out of time. Revelation 7 and verse 15. We read this of those people that came out of that tribulation. Look, that's not some special subcategory of people. I mean, what do you think we're going through now, y'all? We're in the tribulation, okay? It's not some future time happening. I mean, if that's the case, then man, I would hate to see the tribulation, right? I mean, we are in tribulation. Jesus said so, okay? So these people that come out of that are his sheep that he redeems out of this world, he says this, "Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them." I can't wait to be among that he would be among us, right? The one that we're worshiping today. "They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Now there is coming a time, a real time, okay? It's not fairy tales, okay? There is a real time coming when you won't hunger anymore, you won't thirst anymore, the harshness of this world won't bother you anymore, and you won't even shed any tears anymore. And God will be there with us. I hope that we can remember that as we're going through this tribulation time where we're hungering and thirsting. You have access to that water right now. I hope that's an encouragement to you.
Thank you for joining us today on the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. I hope the message has been uplifting and beneficial to you, and that the Lord will continue to bless you to grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. Join us again tomorrow for another message of God's sovereign grace. If you would like to subscribe to our website, please go to www.zionpbc.com and sign up for email updates. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact the church at zionpbc1847@gmail.com. That's zionpbc1847@gmail.com. Or you can email me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter J, C-H-R-I-S-M-C-C-O-O-L @gmail.com. Again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.